Thank you guys for leading us in worship today, and thank you, church, for such a powerful morning of worship. Your voices have filled the house today, and it's just been a joy to be a part of that. Thankful for what the Lord is doing at Poplar Springs. Hey, if you will, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. The Genesis is your first book in your Bible. You can find it right at the opening pages of God's Word. In the 15th chapter, we've been looking through the historical account of the man Abram at this point. Later, he'll be called Abraham, a subtle name change that means that it takes him from the name Abram, High Father, H-I-G-H, High Father, to the name the Father of Many Generations, an elevated name that God gives him later as he becomes the first fruits, if you will, of all salvation to come. And we're going to look today at an account between Abram and the Lord. This is a very personal account. Oftentimes, God is a distant figure in our minds, and we think of him as far off and occupying a place we've never been in heaven, and that God sees things broadly. But today, we look at the Lord God as he relates very personally to the man Abram. Maybe you've sat in a place like this before and watched your children or your grandchildren come up and perform on a stage in a schoolhouse or some other setting, and you've worked with them for weeks and for months and tried to get their lines just right, and you know how nervous they are, and finally you just have to say, hey, we've done all we can, and you send them up there, and it comes their time to step up to the microphone and to present all that you've taught them. And they step up there and they do it perfectly. What do you want to do, Mom and Dad? I mean, you want to run up to them and congratulate them, right? I mean, you can't wait till the play is over. You can't wait till the program is over so you can go to yours and tell them what how amazing it was to see them get up, and all that you've taught them, all that y'all have worked through, they did it perfectly. Abram and the Lord have been working through quite a lot. God called Abram when he was just a nobody, worshiping a false god in a strange land. God called him out, and slowly we have seen Abram growing in his faith. Working through exactly who he was supposed to be and how he was supposed to relate to God. And here comes a little moment in Genesis chapter 14, the end of chapter 14, a little moment when Abram, I don't know if you'd say he is tested, but you would say that Abram here has a chance to step up to the microphone and to deliver the lines. Is he going to falter, or is he going to do something as a reward for all that he's been working toward with the Lord? We see this event, and then we see also how God responds. He responds like a mom, like a dad, like a grandfather coming to his son. Let's read this together in Genesis chapter 14. We'll start in verse 21, and then we'll carry on through chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Last week, let me just give you some background. Last week, if you remember, Abraham has been to war, not just a war against one guy or two guys, but a war against a coalition of powerful kings who have already swept through the land and defeated everybody in their path. I mean, these are some bad dudes. And Abraham learns that they have kidnapped or taken hostage his nephew Lot. And he goes after him with his own trained men. I think around 300 or so of his own trained men. They go after him, and they defeat this mighty coalition. And then he meets, on his way back, he meets a man named Melchizedek, the king of Salem, also the king of righteousness. He meets this king, and we talked about him last week. But another king also came out to meet Abraham, the king of Sodom. Sodom was a wicked place, and we've learned about that already. And so we'll start in verse 21. The king of Sodom, who had also come out to meet victorious Abraham after his conquest, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." He's basically saying, listen, you've earned all this, Abraham. I was defeated. I'm the king of Sodom. I was defeated, and now you've defeated my enemies, and all of this belongs to you. You just give me back the people who were taken from my town, from my kingdom. You keep all the rest. You deserve it. This is my tribute to you, Abram, for your victory. You give me back the people, but you can have all the rest. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand. I have sworn, he's saying. He uses the graphic, I have lifted my hand. I have said under oath to the Lord. I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours. I won't take it, Lord. I won't take it, King of Sodom. I mean, you're offering me this, and by right it's mine, but I will not take it from you, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have already eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, the guys that I took with me from the beginning. Let Anel and Eskel and Mamre take their share. He says, but I will take absolutely nothing. Why will he take nothing? He says, there's no way that I'm going to stand here and let it be said of me by anyone around that the king of Sodom has made this man Abram. I am a testimony and a tribute to God's faithfulness alone. I've lifted my hand to God, and I want everybody always to look at me and say, what an uncanny thing that this man Abram, from Ur of the Chaldeans, worshiping a moon god, was sought after by the Lord, and that they walked together in a personal, intimate faithfulness, that God has given him many blessings. He would not take anything from anyone else. He wanted God to have the glory. And so here's Abram on the stage. He's worked out his lines. The night comes and the lights go down, and grandma and grandpa are out there, and they've got their phones out, and they've got it framed just right. And Abram steps up to the microphone to deliver his lines, and the father is watching. What's he going to do? What a conquest. What a time to beat your chest and say, look what I have done with my 300 or so men. I've conquered all these kings. And all of a sudden, Abram is there and about to take what he deserves as tribute. What's he going to do? Is it going to be about him, or is it going to be about the Lord? God's watching this, and he sees this victory. And so what we're about to read is in response to that. Verse 15, chapter 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. Or I am your shield, comma, your exceeding great reward, depending on your translation of Scripture in the English language. Abram, don't fear. I'm reward enough for you. I am your shield. You've turned down all of this. Don't fear. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. We think of household as family. People who live in my household are my family. The household in biblical times would have meant a servant, someone associated, someone in orbit of your family, but not of your actual family. A member of my household, a servant is going to be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. And so in a moment, in this vision, Abraham is wherever he is with the Lord, inside apparently, and all of a sudden they're transported to the outdoors, and the Lord says, look up to the stars of the heaven and number those stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then verse 6, and he, that is Abram, he believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. God's been making this promise all along. He's been promising Abram, you're going to be a father of many generations. All the nations of the world will be blessed through you. And Abram is faced with, is God going to keep this promise or not? I think we see here four expectations, four things we can expect from a promise-keeping God. The first is this. We notice here that God sees your acts of faith. God sees your acts of faith. Have you ever done something that you felt like was invisible, that nobody could see, that just went unnoticed and unrewarded? We were married for, I guess, about a year, lived in a little apartment in Eastridge, Tennessee, a little duplex type thing, and in a little subdivision full of duplexes. And I noticed something. After about a year of being married, I noticed that our bathroom never got dirty. And I said one day to Erica, I said, you know, ever since, you know, I moved in here after we were married, ever since we moved in here, our bathtub, our shower, never gets dirty. Erica looked at me like, you idiot, you know. Somebody was cleaning the bathroom, right? And it was her. You do things that go unnoticed. We do that all the time, you know. Our son Reese, when he plays basketball, he plays a little rec league of basketball, and every time he dribbles down the court, if he makes the basket, guess what he does? He looks up to who? To mom and dad. Whoever, he wants to know if what he did has been seen. It was such a distraction for a while because he would stop and look and stare and just want to soak up all the praise while the game was still carrying on, you know. We had to say, Reese, you know, you can't stand there. You got to be a part of the team. We want people to see the things that we do. And Abram, there with the king of Sodom, out there in the aftermath of the battle, all of a sudden, it must have felt great. Two kings came out. This king of Salem, Melchizedek, and this king of Sodom came out. We're paying him all glory and said, Abraham, you just take with you all of this heap of wealth. Take it all. You deserve, you've earned it. You're the victor here. Abraham says, no way. I belong to the Lord. Did anybody see that? Was there any reward for that? Turns out, yes. The Lord sees. God sees your acts of faith. In this 21st century, on sitting on these benches today, God sees the unseen things. Those matters of character, students, God sees them. In the hallways at your school, when you decide to practice faithfulness, God sees that. When it costs you something, like this did Abraham, when it costs you something, being liked or being understood or being accepted, God sees it. Men, at your jobs, when ethics comes high to you but comes low to others, and it costs you, and commissions and promotions are on the line, but you decide, I have lifted my hand to the Lord. I will take nothing that does not come from Him. Guess what? The Lord sees that. Oftentimes it feels like, well, what good is it for me to quietly practice this? After all, I'm alone right now. So what if I let my mouth run off and say things, and it's just me here. No one can hear it. It's not just you. It is always you and the Lord. When practicing godly character costs you something, let me tell you, it never goes unnoticed by God. God comes to him. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He says, guess what, Abram? I'm your shield. And I'm your reward. Your reward is going to be very great. Don't worry that which you set aside. Hey, maybe Abraham was standing there thinking, I've lost all these horses and all this stuff. I could have had it. God says, listen, I'm going to bring you something much better. Godly character, when it costs you something, it never goes unnoticed. But the second expectation we can have from a promise-keeping Savior is this. God knows your silent fears. God knows our silent fears. Notice what Abraham says to God here. He says, oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. You know what I notice here? As I look at this, if you were from the outside looking in, if you lived around Abram, you would look and you think everything looks perfect for Abram. I mean, he just defeated these kings, and he's got all these men, and he's got his nephew Lot back and his reputation, and he's got all this. He's doing very well. He's got his wife Sarah, and everything just looks perfect in victory, like a perfect Facebook post with all the filters that we use. And what do y'all like to do? Y'all like to rosy up your cheeks, right? Girls, you know, do these Facebook posts, and everything's just perfect before you hit submit. Abraham's life would have looked like that to everybody looking from the outside. But within, there was a deep fear that he had. What was that fear? I mean, there was a deep place in his life that was uncertain, it was questioning, it was unfulfilled, and it all had to do with the fact that he and Sarah could not and had not had any children yet. God comes to him and says, hey, I'm going to be your reward, I'm going to be your shield. And Abram says, listen, there's something in me that I'm so afraid of. Nobody else would have known it, but who did know it? God. I want you to know this morning, God sees your silent fears. What is your fear this morning? What is your regret this morning that you have that's deep? Nobody else knows it. They don't see it from your Facebook postings. They don't see it from the car you drive. They don't see it from the smile that you wear on Sunday mornings with everybody else. But there's something in you that is a vacancy here. God sees that. We don't have to hide that from the Lord. You know, fear does funny things to us. This is what Abraham was afraid of, but you may be afraid of something else. Fear causes us to act in strange ways. In Montana in 2012, I saw a story of a man who decided to dress up like a Bigfoot and scare people on Highway 93 that cuts across Montana there. And he dressed up in this big Bigfoot outfit, and he hid in the bushes down by the roadway. And just at the right time, he jumped out into the travel lane of Highway 93 when he saw some cars coming down the way. And he thought he would start a hoax for the newspaper. It was a big thing. And he jumped out there, and guess what? The car did. Ran over him. Another car came after that. He was still alive. And another car came after that, and they saw this monster in the road. Guess what they did? They ran over him, right? He's no longer with us, y'all, if you were worried. People believed him, if you know what I mean. They believed that there was a Bigfoot there. Fear makes us take control. Fear sometimes makes us get protective and guarded and hide it in. We've got to defend ourselves against fear, and that's exactly what we do. Matthew, I'm afraid my grandson is never going to trust the Lord. There seems to be no evidence, and no. I pray all the time. I'm terrified. I'm afraid that my kid's marriage is going to break up. Matthew, I'm afraid that there's a sin that I've been hiding for years. I've confessed it to God, but I'm just afraid of what this means for me, for my relationship. I'm afraid, and it causes us to shield away. Listen, it is folly to try to do that with God. With God, it is okay for you to open up and lay bare before Him the things that matter for you. And I hope you know this morning that no matter how it feels to you, you are never alone in your fears. There is always someone who sees and who knows. What are your hidden fears today? I think I'm afraid I won't be liked. I won't be powerful. I won't be wanted. I won't be comfortable. I'm afraid in my retirement I'm not going to be comfortable. You know, I'm afraid that I won't be beautiful. I'm afraid I won't be remembered. I just want to be remembered. I just want to have a legacy. I just don't want death to be it for me. I want to be needed. I want to be all. I want to be fulfilled. I'm afraid I'm not going to be fulfilled in my life. What are your fears? I'm afraid I'm going to be alone. I'm afraid I'll never get married. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. Whatever it is for you today, often it is in that narrow realm that God wants to do His most personal and powerful work. When does He approach Abram in this loving, fatherly way? He does so right at the moment Abraham has cause to be afraid, and He says, do not fear. Whatever you're holding back from God, might be exactly the place that he is wanting and desiring and trying to get into your life to do his most personal and powerful work, to move in you. I think if we would often let our fears lay open before the Lord and let him have access and let him have liberty within that, that there would be a point of before and after where we'd say, you know what? Before I trusted God with all this, before I trusted him with all this, my life was this way before the Lord. My life was just normal. It was just mundane. After I opened it up to the Lord, that's when he came in power. That's how it's been in my life. Once you open your life up to the Lord, open that realm to God to do his work. But thirdly, God does not chintz on his promises. I don't know if the word chintz is a real word or not. I looked it up and it's not in the dictionary. But I've used that word before. Have you ever, anybody not know what chintz means? You do not know what chintz means. I knew there was something wrong with Matthew Waymack. Chintz, it means to kind of curtail or to mitigate. It means to lessen. Like if I make a promise to you, Matthew, I say, Matthew, at the end of this year, you being an intern here, we're going to pay you a paycheck from the Georgia Baptist Mission Board for $1,000. After a summer-long internship here, and the time comes and I say, well, really? $800 feels a little bit better. I'm chintzing, right? I have chintzed on my promise. God does not chintz on his promises to us. Now, Abraham has been wondering. Now, God said you're going to be a father of many nations. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Stars of the heaven, dust of, if you could count the dust on the ground, that's how many children or offspring or descendants you're going to have. But in Abraham's mind, he's been cranking on this a little bit. Like, well, is that going to happen through Eleazar? A servant in my household? And I mean, am I going to symbolically, figuratively be the father of many nations? I mean, God could technically still be honoring his promise there if it was Eleazar and I could be the figurehead. And he says, God, I continue childless, and the heir of my house is not of my line, basically. Here's what God says back to him. It's amazing. God says, this man shall not be your heir, but your very own son shall be your heir. It's not going to be figurative. God doesn't promise big and then say, well, let's give you a little bit less. I promise you $1,000, but now I'm going to give you $800. God says, absolutely not. This man, I love he doesn't even call his name, this other man shall not be your heir, he could have just said your son. He could have just said your own son. But God went so far as to say, your very own son shall be your heir. God does not chintz on his promises. You been to Cracker Barrel lately? Some of y'all been going to Cracker Barrel for a long time, and it shows. I've been going long enough that I remember when at Cracker Barrel, the glasses were this tall. Do y'all remember that? Probably in about 2000, they took the glasses down to small. Used to be the glasses were so big, if you needed to have a refill of sweet tea, you were a glutton. I mean, it was big glasses. And you know the jellies at Cracker Barrel? Dickinson's, I think. Maddie knows. She works there. Dickinson's little jellies that you get. They used to be big tins, and they were kind of squared off at the bottom. And you open it up, and it was enough for both sides of the biscuit plus some. You know what I mean? If you notice now, since for several years, the edges are tapered down. So at the top of it, it looks big. But if you look underneath, they're tapered down. They go down at an angle. There's not. You can't even do one side of the biscuit now with the jelly. The maple syrup. You're getting the point, but I'm going to carry on. Just one more. The maple syrup used to be one. It used to say 100% pure maple syrup. Now it says 100% pure natural syrup. It's natural, okay. Part of it's maple. And part of it's just sugarcane syrup. everything has gotten what? Chintzed. You used to get bread before your meal, right? Now they don't bring you that bread no more. You get it with the meal. Everything is, every promise that is made to us as human beings in this world, there's always the likelihood that someone acting in their own best interest is going to say, yes, I wanted to give you this. Yes, that's what I said I would do, but in the end, I'm going to do a little less. Yes, I said I would make you a father of many nations, but wouldn't you be happy just being the figurative father of many nations? It's going to have to come through Eleazar, Abraham. After all, you and your wife are barren, and you're still going to be the father, but not in the sense that you might have thought. God never does that. Listen, how often does God do it? God never does that. He has not done it with you. He's not planning to do it with you. He will not do it with you. God has no need for us to edit his promises. The burning bush. Hear people make comments that it was a special kind of bush with special oils that got secreted and they would burn, but the bush wouldn't burn. God does not need us to try to figure out some natural way that the bush was not consumed. Well, Jonah and the whale, that was really just a poetic language and it didn't actually happen, we hear. People would like, it didn't actually happen. We find ourselves trying to explain away God's promises. I love what one pastor said, Adrian Rogers. He said, you ask me if I believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. He said, I would believe it if it said Jonah swallowed the whale. Because God's word says it. We don't have to explain away the promises of God. People say, well, Moses parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. But really, that's a misinterpretation. It's supposed to be the reed, R-E-A-D, or R-E-E-D, the Reed Sea. It was a very shallow, marshy. It was not the miracle that we make it out to be. We don't have to explain away God's miracles or his promises. God has no need for us to edit his promises. Maybe it's time for you to reclaim something you know God has promised. Maybe a long time ago, you settled or just outright set aside something that you knew God had for you or something that his word promised to you, and you started mitigating it. You started chintzing it. Well, God said that he would save to the uttermost, but my sin is so big. My past is so dark. Surely he can't forgive all of that. But some of it, but not all of it. I mean, I know the Lord said he is patient. He's desiring all to come to repentance. But long ago, I just set aside any possibility that my family member could be saved. That's not going to happen. There's no evidence of it here. Listen, God doesn't need you to edit his promises. Maybe it's time for you to reclaim something that God has promised to you. But lastly, God prepares us to live within the unbelievable. He prepares us to live within the unbelievable. God doesn't leave Abram with just the knowledge and the words of the promise. He takes him outdoors. He shows him a concrete example. They move outdoors and he says, Abram, look at the stars. Now you can see some stars around here. But at this place where Abram lived, and at the time in history that he lived, but you could see stars all over. I mean, big stars, bright stars, faint stars, far stars. You could, I mean, it's just a whole canvas of little lights there. I mean, it looked like something we, most of us, have not ever seen before. And so God takes him out there and says, check this out. Last time I told you to try to number the dust of the earth, but this time you number the stars up there in the heavens, if you can. Number those. That is how far. Those are the lengths to which I'm going to go to fulfill this promise. That's how many offspring you're going to have. Innumerable, endless offspring. He shows Abram a vivid demonstration of exactly what he means. This is impossible. I don't even have one child. You're telling me that from my very own son, who I don't even have, and it doesn't seem like one's going to be here anytime soon, that all of this, I'm going to have sons and daughters across time that number these? God wants to show him, yes, I deal in the area of the unbelievable. I deal in the realm of the impossible. With me, nothing shall be impossible. In April 2017, the United States dropped a bomb on Afghanistan. It was called the MOAB, the MOAB. Anybody know what that stands for? Mother of all bombs, that's right. It was a gigantic bomb. Mother of all. I'm going to start using that with y'all. Mother of all, I don't know, bad breath. Or mother of all, I want a mother of all designation. You know, I want one of those. Mother of all cars. Mother of all pew reupholsterings. We want all that. But the mother of all bombs is the hugest non-nuclear yield bomb ever made. And there was a network of tunnels in Afghanistan that ISIS was using to pop up here and there and to go underground and to hide from American forces. And so the U.S. military, the Air Force, dropped this gigantic MOAB, mother of all bombs, on Afghanistan. It was a mile blast radius, not percussion radius, a mile blast radius. And it caved in all the tunnels. It was an awesome sight. It was a display, the article that I read said, of American power, and it was meant to produce shock and awe. It was meant to have a visual effect that this is what we can do. And God takes Abraham out there and says, Abraham, it's not just words. I want you to look up, and I want you to see. I want you to understand the shock and the awe and the power of what the Lord, Yahweh God, can accomplish. Let me ask you this. Does your life fit more into the possible or the impossible? Does your life fit more into the natural or into the supernatural? Is there anything divine in your daily steps? Are you a person of prayer? Are you a person of the Word? Are you a person of expectation that as you step out into your daily world, that God is likely to do something not within the realm of possibility, not what the evidence would suggest, but that God is able to do something impossible in your life? Well, Matthew, I want to get married, but there's no men in my life. I don't know where to meet Christians. Are you a person of prayer and expectation? Are you serving a God that showcases the impossible? Or are you someone who just lives on what's around you? See, God wants us. He is preparing Abram, and he's preparing you to not experience these impossible things just hypothetically, but to live a life of them in actuality. That's what he's preparing Abram to do. Is there anything divine in your daily steps? See, a lot of that depends on God. A lot of it depends on him. He's the one with the power. But are you seeking God? Do you know God? Are you reminded of what he's able to do and what he has done? Do you know what to look for? How God speaks to his people and how he might speak to you? Have you prayed with him that morning? Have you spoken to him that day so that his voice is familiar? So when you hear him calling, you know immediately that that's God? It depends on us, doesn't it? God is preparing us to live within the unbelievable. That's the kind of life he wants for me and you. This is something I struggle with just the same as you, maybe more. Living within what my hands can do. Building with the materials that are available at my fingertips instead of asking what lies at the fingertips of God for my life. That's what I want us to be asking. The final word in this, at the very last verse, we're going to talk more about this next verse next week, but the very last verse of this says that Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The word believe there, if you looked it up in the Hebrew, it is the root word from which we get the English word amen. In fact, it's A-M-A-N, aman. It's a word that means it is so, or yes, or so be it. When we say amen to a prayer, what we're saying is, so be it. Yes, it is so. It's the word Abraham finishes with. The Bible tells us here that Abraham said he amened God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Every person's life is going to amen something. Amen. You say, well, Matthew, I don't. Everybody sitting here today, in one way or the other, your life is serving as a stamp of amen, of amen on something or the other. Have you amened God's promises and God's will and God's possibilities for you? Are you stepping out in faith on what He can do? Or are you amening? It's your regular old life. What you can do, what you can expect, what you can experience, where you can go. God wants far more for you than that. Let me pray for us. Just a moment, I'm going to offer a time of response, and maybe this morning you would come and bend the knee here at the front of the worship center. Ask God to do something beyond what you could ask or imagine. Maybe you'd come up and surrender your life to Him and say, God, here's the place of my fear. I've been pretending like you don't know it, God. I've been protecting it. I've been trying to run it down, God, this fear. But in the end, God, I need you to just have it. Yes, it makes me vulnerable, Lord, but I'm going to trust you with it. Maybe you'd come this morning and trust Christ for the first time. He gave His life on a sinner's cross for you, even though He was purely innocent. He stood in your place so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have freedom. Maybe you need to say yes to Him. Whatever your decision is, the floor is open here. You can pray privately. I'll be happy to pray with you or to counsel you. Maybe you need to sit right where you're at and say a word to the Lord this morning. You know what that word would be. It's not what I have to say to you today, but maybe what the Holy Spirit has already been saying to you in weeks before now, leading up to this day. And you know, friend, what it is you need to do. Don't be lazy. Don't be stubborn. Don't be too strong. Let the Lord have His way. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for trusting it to us. I pray this morning that we would be people who live lives, Lord, that step according to Your power, that we realize the depth and the breadth of what You've made available to us. Show us, God, and confront us with the difference and with the distance between that and how we've been living. And help us to step up into Your will, into Your promises, into Your faithfulness, into Your power. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, I invite you to respond.